Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Twanda Black. And, sports, everybody loves their football. They love putting their children in football, but they don't understand all the underpinnings of it, so to speak. And joining me this morning, John Feinstein. He is author of more than 30 books, including the number one New York best time seller, A Season on the Brink and A Good Walk Spoiled. And he's written this new book called Backfield Boys, a football mystery in black and white. How are you this morning?
Morning, Twanda. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh my God, I got a little nephew in football. It's so funny. The equipment is bigger than him. I don't even know how he's holding everything up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true, no doubt.
Yeah, especially in this day and time.
Well, because there's so much more equipment because we're trying to protect our kids from injury, which is a good thing.
It is.
We know now so much more about the dangers of football than we did 10, 15, or 20
years ago. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a 30-year-old son who got a rhomboid injury at 12. Do you know he's still dealing with that? He is still dealing with that muscle injury.
Many football injuries are long-term, and many football injuries, particularly the ones to the head, don't manifest until many years later.
We actually, he had a bad hit and we took him to get x-ray. You saw right at the neck and his spine, where his spine had curved, where he was just hitting improperly. It's just, that football thing is serious.
Thank God it wasn't so serious that he lost the ability
I know, absolutely.
And happened with spinal injuries, as you know.
Yes, yes, yes. This football thing is so serious. I love this book. You know why I loved it? Because, the kids were so smart, and I think it was so representative of the kids of today. These boys were so smart.
Yeah, I've always had smart kids in my YA mysteries. This is my 11th one, and there's two reasons for that. One is they have to be smart in order for them to carry out the plot, in order for them to figure things out as as the storyline goes along. But the other reason is, as you point out, that kids today are so much smarter than we were growing up. And, you know, I have a 23-year-old son. I have an 18-year-old daughter. And when I first started writing these books, I had they were younger at the time, but I had them read behind me as my editors because I wanted to make sure, A, that it was a plot that a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old could follow, number one. And number two, that I was writing in the voice of kids today, not in the voice of kids when I was growing up. And they would constantly correct me, saying, you know, things like when kids, I'd have my two characters instant message one another. And I would write, "Where are you?" A-R-E-Y-O-U. And my kids would go, "Dad,
you can't spell that out.
The letter R, the letter U, you're such a dork." So, you're 100% right about kids being so much more aware today than we were on really on all issues. And in this case of this book, where race is clearly at the center of the story, the two kids, the two heroes, Tom and Jason, Tom is black, Jason is white, they're stunned that in 2017 – race would still be an issue on what position you play in football.
Right.
The coach would actually think an African-American kid isn't smart enough to play quarterback. But they figure it out pretty quickly and are able to go forward. And as the storyline goes forward, they're able to understand what's going on, why it's going on, and what they need to do to try to correct it.
You know, I love that you made Tom a black guy and Jason a white guy. The names were switched up, you know, if you didn't pay attention. Because in general, a black guy would be named Jason and a white guy would be named Tom. Yeah. I love their friend Anthony and their friend Billy Bob, who to me proved to be smartest out of all of them.
Billy Bob, again, I was trying to bust stereotypes throughout the book. And Billy Bob is a good old boy from Alabama.
Yeah.
And when he and Tom meet for the first time, you know, Billy Bob makes the comment, "Well, I grew up in Gadsden, Alabama. I've never met a Jewish guy before."
Right.
And Jason says, "Well, I grew up in New York City. I've never met anybody named Billy Bob before." and they kind of go from there and become, of course, close friends.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was trying to do, not only bust the stereotypes, but make the point that sports can bond kids, whether yes. they're black or white Absolutely. Or Jewish, from Alabama, from mm-hmm. New York City, it doesn't matter. And mm-hmm. that's the cool thing about sports. But the unfortunate thing is, even today, Twanda, race remains the elephant in the room for all of us in sports and for society.
Yeah.
Clearly, just look at the recent incidents that we've had in this
Absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely. So, you know, such a phenomenal story. And it's a quick read. You know, I read it in a couple of days because I was reading somebody else's book, too. But the story in today, and we all know that it still happens, but I think people think that it's not happening, and it happens on such a younger level. And this is in private school. So talk about, you know, your research on that. Did you see it? Did you hear it? Did you know it? Why would you write a story like this?
Well, there were a lot of reasons. It's a great question. A lot of it had to do with incidents that I've seen throughout my, unfortunately, very lengthy at this point career as a sports writer. And it really started to germinate in my head, to be honest, Twanda, back in 2010 when Donovan McNabb was traded from the Eagles to Washington, mm-hmm. where I live. And in the eighth game of the season, Mike Shanahan, the coach in Washington, benched Donovan McNabb late in the game. And his explanation, because it was strange that he had mm-hmm. done that, I think McNabb had taken every snap all season, was, well, they were behind. And he said, I didn't think Donovan knew our two-minute offense that well.
Wow.
Well, midway through the season?
Yeah,
the next
exactly.
day, because nobody bought that explanation, mm-hmm. he was asked about it again. He said, well, I wasn't sure Donovan was in shape to run back-to-back plays. So now on consecutive days, he's called his quarterback dumb,
mm-hmm.
and then he called him out of shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, there was an anonymous quote on ESPN from someone within the organization that we had to cut the playbook in half for Donovan because he couldn't
wow.
run the whole playbook. Now, I reacted to that. I went on television, and mm-hmm. I said, I didn't criticize Shanahan for benching McNabb. Mm-hmm. He's the coach. He's mm-hmm. got the right to do that. And I said, this is racial coding. This goes back to the 1960s
yes.
and 70s when people were still claiming that African Americans weren't smart enough to play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What was fascinating about it, Twanda, was the backlash to my comment nationally that I was playing. I'm a white guy.
You're playing the race card.
The race
right,
card.
Right, right,
right. And the white media was outraged that I would say this. And a guy who I've known for years, Rick Riley, wrote a column ripping me, of course, saying that I had called Shanahan a racist,
mm-hmm.
which I hadn't,
mm-hmm.
and saying that I had criticized him for benching McNabb, which I hadn't. But what struck me was how I hit a nerve.
You did.
I hit a nerve. and it told me how this sort of thing bubbles just below the surface.
Yes.
And then when the Kaepernick thing happened, as
oh,
I was
God.
Starting to
yes.
write the book,
yes.
I said, wow, you know, this is still – because how did most of the reaction break down? It broke down along racial lines.
It did. It did.
Most African Americans said, well, of course he's got the right to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are incidents in which white cops have done terrible things to African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to agree with that. But I think – among old white guys, I'm probably in the minority.
Yeah.
And most of the old white guy reaction was, if you don't love this country, then leave it, which is a bunch of hooey, as you know.
Yes.
But it told me that this whole issue bubbles right beneath the
it's
surface
there.
And is ready to jump above the surface
mm-hmm.
in an instant. And then, of course, we had the incident in Charlottesville. I had no idea when I wrote the book that this
I know, and
happen.
You mentioned Charlottesville in the book, right?
10 miles from Charlottesville,
yes,
and
yes.
The head of the school, as you
mm-hmm,
know, is a
mm-hmm,
KKK member.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was crazy.
That, the only good thing about the tragedy in Charlottesville, for me, from a personal standpoint, was I don't think anybody can say my plot is far-fetched.
Right, because it's right there. It's right there.
Sadly.
And then the whole thing with Kaepernick, too, is that they blackballed him. Everybody knows he's been blackballed.
There's no question about
he's,
that.
Everybody
and you still
knows
have
it.
People in the white media
yeah.
buying anonymous quotes from NFL executives saying he's not good enough to play in the league. Well, he was a starter last year.
Absolutely.
On a bad team, but he was still a starter.
Yeah.
Now he's not good enough to even be a backup.
Right. Or a backup
one.
To
and
the backup.
The other argument is, you know, well, there'll be backlash against the team that if they sign him. How many season ticket holders do you think are giving up their football?
Nobody.
How many sponsors
Mm-mm.
do you think are leaving the NFL?
Nobody.
Maybe a handful.
Yeah.
But nothing that's going to affect the income of the owners.
I say the same thing. Yeah. It's not going to happen. But the story was just amazing. And as I was telling a group of kids that they need to read the book. So do you think that it's happening? I know you said it in private school, and I learned so much about how they all think, how coaches think. It was phenomenal, I tell you, to get into the heads of the coaches and how they think. And then when you brought the media in, Teal and I think Johnson, was it Johnson?
No, Tom Robinson.
Robinson.
Real,
yeah.
By the way, friends of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were phenomenal. Just the wisdom that was coming from them to these kids. And these kids were just phenomenal. So you'd think that it's happening in public school and private school. It's happening all around.
I think it can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's a case-by-case thing. I don't think there's necessarily a trend in one direction or another.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, Twanda, we still have individuals in this country who just don't get it.
That's right.
And you know, including, unfortunately, the President of the United States.
Wow.
Who actually tried to blame both sides for Charlottesville.
Yeah, right? That was
before
unfortunate.
Before he was reeled in by his advisors. And was like, no, you can't say that. You can't defend the KKK publicly in any way, shape, or form. But that's what I'm talking about when I say it's just beneath the surface.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I don't think it's beneath.
Anywhere.
I don't think it's beneath the surface.
I made the coach from Alabama.
Yeah.
But the offensive coordinator, who's just as bad, is from the north.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was the worst city in the country in terms of when we desegregated schools? It was Boston.
Yeah.
Wasn't Atlanta.
A lot of people think it's the South, right?
It wasn't Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It was Boston. So, unfortunately, it exists all over.
This was such a smart book for young adults. And what's your age for this, your writing?
You know, this book is, I would say, a little older than some of the other kids'
books
I've written, which the early ones, I think, were targeted for 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'd say 12 and up. Now, you've read the book. I think you'd agree with that.
I would.
Kid who's a seventh grader on up can certainly read it. And as you said, adults can read it too.
What I love too is that you included Mr. Juan Del Potro in this book, the Hispanic guy with his friends.
Oh, yes, and, Juan Del Potro.
And he was just telling the truth about the real deal. He was laying it out for these guys. And I think that I could see them all standing there with big eyes and their mouths open going, what?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think your initial reaction to a storyline like this would be just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's 2017.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, we've had MVPs who have been African-American quarterbacks in the NFL. Russell Wilson, you know, has been to two Super Bowls in 3 years. But still, the list of NFL quarterbacks who are African-American is still very small. And if you take it a step further, of course, and you go to coaches,
oh my gosh,
you know, managers, and
we got
owners,
none right now. Mm-hmm.
Only a handful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. An amazing story. I loved how it ended. It was a great ending.
Happy ending.
Yes, happy ending. But I tell you, you guys, you need to read this. If you're wanting your child to play, go to private school. And I was wondering, do they have schools like this that aren't really?
Actually, the fictional school I made up for the story, Thomas Gatch Prep, is based on IMG Academy, which is in Bradenton, Florida. And it's very real. And the numbers I used about tuition are real, are non-fictional.
Oh, my goodness. So a school for athletes. That is amazing. I didn't even know schools like that existed.
It's a recent phenomenon. But,
okay.
But it does go on.
I gotcha. Like I said, excellent book, John Feinstein. Tell us where we can get the book and where we can learn more about you.
Backfield Boys is on sale everywhere now. If it's not in a bookstore, scream and yell at the people there. But you can get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And if you go to my website, which is jfeinsteinbooks.com, there are links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble if you want to do it that way. And there you can learn more about me, too, for better or worse.
Phenomenal book. Thank you so much for joining us.
Wanda, thanks for having me.